This is a podcast about living out of intimacy, a conversation over coffee about a living God whose desire is to live out of you. Pour yourself a cup of coffee and join us. I'm Jason Goodson.
And I'm Johnny Taylor.
And this is Coffee and Conversations.
Welcome back, everybody, to Coffee and Conversations podcast. I'm Jason. I'm here with Johnny.
Man, it don't seem like it's been 2 weeks already.
Yeah, it has been.
It went by in a hurry.
Went by in a hurry. We're drinking some Calvin Roast. I am, anyways. That's what.
Oh, yeah.
And I made it extra strong tonight. It's got a good pop. It's making me excited and ready for tonight. So, yeah, I'm excited about the podcast. Thanks for joining us. And thank you for – we've had several new people respond and just kind of interact. And, you know, several listeners that we're hearing from that are enjoying the podcast. And
talked to an old friend of mine that I hadn't talked to in since about 1990.
And so
Last week, just been listening, so –
And I'm starting to, you know, we're starting to pick up a little more local as well. Yeah. So I think that's good. And so thanks for everybody who is tuning in tonight to listen to the podcast. And I'm JT, I don't know, I'm kind of fired up about this one and ready to go.
I've been fired up all day about this. Oh, one thing we keep forgetting to tell people. Like the video.
Yes.
And share it and subscribe to our YouTube channel.
That's right.
So other people can see this.
Right. Hit that little bell.
And if
click the bell.
Yeah. Ring the bell.
Yeah,
ring the bell.
Yeah.
On YouTube. And if you know people, and also if you know people that have been beat up by religion.
Yes. This would be a good podcast for them to listen to.
Yes. Yes.
I can attest to that and identify with that and know that.
Because I can say that turning my relationship with Christ into religion after I became a Christian almost killed me.
I'm telling you. And I laugh because I don't understand. Yeah.
Jason knows, and that's why we do this podcast.
That's why we do it. Because I was in the same boat for many years. And so I know that, you know, finally just having the freedom to not have that burden on the shoulder anymore.
The yoke was not easy and the burden was not light.
But the truest statement I can give you based on what you just said is that Jesus is, you know, he says, take my yoke upon you, take my yoke upon you.
Yeah.
And I just, man, that for me, that's been the most, there hasn't been any work in that, you know what I'm saying? It feels like the easiest job I've ever had because I hadn't had to worry about relying upon myself to do anything at this point because he had control of it the whole time anyways.
So, yeah.
Anyway.
This is another one of those things. If you go to scripture and read and the load feels heavy and the burden, the yoke is heavy and the burden's not light, then you're not reading it correctly.
That's exactly right.
Once again, you're reading it from the wrong perspective, which is something we're going to get into again tonight, because right now, well, we'll just get into it.
Well, no, it's good because I think I've been heavily burdened by the fact, and JT knows this, is for many years already, that the heavy burden of people to know God in the correct way.
Yeah.
And when I say the correct way is that a lot of times we read scripture and when we read scripture, we totally read it wrong. And there's not a formula for a right way to read scripture, I don't think, but what we're going to get into tonight, it's going to kind of lead you in that direction, hopefully.
Yeah.
Because so many people I've heard the illustrations of the love letter aspect of it.
Yep.
I've heard the illustrations of reading it. We talked about it even last week. Not condemned.
Yeah, we keep hitting the same topic here, but it's
but you're going to hear it from a different perspective tonight because there's a really good illustration in what's going on here.
You're going to get to participate.
Yeah.
What's going to happen here is Jason is going to read the scripture where the rich young ruler, if you don't know that, you're first to hear it. But what we want you to do is after Jason reads the scripture, is to pause.
Hit pause.
Don't keep on listening. Hit pause. If you got somebody to sit and discuss this with, I think it would be even better if you sit and read it. And go back while you're on pause and read the whole story again yourself. The rich young ruler, we're looking at Mark 10:17 through 10.
I think it goes all the way through 10:25.
Yeah, at least 25.
Maybe, but actually, if you want to read all the whole story, go through 31.
But read the whole story. You can do that. We're not going to read quite the whole thing. Jason's not. But, and after you read it, if you're sitting with somebody you can discuss it with, or you just yourself, you can do this yourself. I want you to answer two questions. The rich young ruler's question was, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And we want to know, what do you hear Jesus telling him to do? What do you hear Jesus telling him to do? And then the second question is, what do you think he heard Jesus say to do?
Very good.
And answer those two questions for yourself, or if you're sitting with somebody, discuss it, come up here and
stop it.
You don't have to tell us what you came up with. I'd love if you
please do.
I'd love to hear your thought process and what you came up with, but you don't have to tell us. But do that for yourself, and then come back and listen to the rest of the podcast, and we're going to talk about our thoughts and maybe a few insights on what was going on here. And we're not like looking for a deep theological answer. This is extremely simple stuff.
Right.
Yeah. But very
profound,
relevant.
Yes.
Yeah, very relevant. Yeah. So
here we go.
Okay. Jason's going to read, and then you're going to pause and answer the questions.
Here we go. The rich young man is what it says on mine, but it's the rich young ruler, however you want to look at it. So Mark 10:17. Here we go. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Mark 10:18 says this, "So Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not commit murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother.' And he answered and said to him, 'Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth.' Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, 'One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me.' But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions."
Yep. All right. It's time to pause.
Pause.
Answer the two questions. I'll tell you again. First one is, what do you see Jesus answering his question? What did Jesus answer? What did he say in answer to his question? And then what do you think the rich young man or ruler heard Jesus say in answer to his question? And we'll continue the podcast.
Okay.
I'm excited that y'all get to participate tonight. So anyway, and we're still coming off of Romans.
We're still
8.
Great, yeah. Romans 8:4.
Yeah. You want to read that one?
I can go back to Romans 8:4, yeah. And get a couple of clicks here.
And we're going to talk about how Romans 8:4 ties into what Jesus said here.
Romans 8:4 says that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
So anyway, back to the rich young ruler.
Back to the rich young ruler here.
And how does Romans 8:4 apply to him?
Phew. Well,
I mean, obviously, he was looking to keep the law.
Well, just the way he addressed him in 17, good teacher. And so what does he see Jesus as at the moment? He sees him as a teacher. So there's got to be at some point here that he has heard him talk.
Yeah.
In the temple, good teacher. He's heard.
Or somebody's told him.
Or somebody's told him. You don't know for sure.
I didn't actually look at what he meant when he said good there. Let's see here.
It meant he was easy to listen to. I'm telling you, it's
good.
He knew that he was wise. He knew that he had some wisdom. He knew that he was.
He called him master.
Master,
which meant teacher or doctor or instructor.
Have you ever listened? Like, I want to go back to this real fast. Have you ever listened to your pastor at church and thought, man, that was really good. That was a good teaching, right? Just elevate that.
Yeah.
Elevate this from God in flesh here, giving him.
I can't remember
through the truth there.
I can't remember what scripture it was. It was talking about the people were amazed because he spoke with authority rather than as the scribes taught.
Well, you know, there was, that might have been when he was like 12. I mean,
but yeah, he was.
Folks were gathered around him going, man, this is different, you know?
And we've seen that in speakers through our Christian life.
That's right.
I'm going to tell a story. It has to do with Jesus teaching with power.
Sure.
A friend of ours, Dave Busby, he passed away years ago.
Yeah.
But he used to speak to youth groups. He had 6% lung capacity from because he had cystic fibrosis.
Right.
We were in Jackson, Mississippi at the football stadium there, which holds about 40,000 people. It was Baptist Youth Night.
Yes.
In August. August in Mississippi outside.
I'm telling you. You can cut the air. It's so thick. Yes.
18,000 high school students in one end of the stadium.
Mm.
And they've had some worship singers and stuff. And you put 18,000 high school students in the stadium, there's people talking.
There's a buzz going on.
It's just a constant buzz.
Yep.
They've never heard Dave speak before. They don't even really probably know who he is, other than what their youth directors told them.
Right.
And I can't remember who got up and introduced Dave. And he got up and started walking toward the podium before he ever said a word. It went dead silent in that stadium.
Hmm.
You could have heard a pin drop, as the saying goes. And he got up there, and it never went back to a buzz. They listened, even though it was 90-something degrees, right, and everybody was sweating like crazy. That was speaking with authority and power. And if you've ever seen anybody like that, you'll know what I'm talking about.
Exactly right, yeah. He goes, good teacher, you know, that what shall I do to inherit what?
Eternal life.
Isn't that the question that everybody wants to know?
Yeah.
What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? If you don't, then you've never really considered your life.
It's interesting. It was interesting to me that he's asking this question considering he thinks he's kept on the law.
And?
Because that would be against the teaching that he's been taught.
Been taught then. Because if you do keep the law perfectly, what?
You can meet all the...
Good luck.
If you could.
Yeah.
If you could. So anyway... And then the next interesting thing here is Jesus said one thing you lack, and then he told him two things.
Yeah.
And this is where we're going to get into that. Because a lot of the times when I've heard this taught, it gets focused on go and sell everything you have, and you'll have riches in heaven. That was not the answer he gave the rich young man.
Right.
He qualified that by saying, go and sell everything you have, and you'll have riches in heaven.
Right.
Treasures in heaven. That was not the answer to the rich man's question. The next was the answer to the question.
Right.
He said, take up the cross and follow me.
Right.
That was the answer to the question.
Yeah, very much so.
But, and this is why we ask the question, what did you hear? And what did you hear him tell the rich young ruler? And what did you think the rich young ruler heard? It's pretty obvious what the rich young ruler heard. He heard, go sell all you got.
That's right.
That's what he thought the answer was, because he was sad because he had lots of possessions.
Right.
But keeping laws and doing things does not get you salvation.
Which is why you mentioned do not commit murder, adultery.
Yeah.
Do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. Because all things that he could do.
Yeah, all these things he had
he
done.
Has done.
And Jesus
he mentioned
knew.
Those things, yeah. But those things I've kept from my youth, he says.
See, here, and this is to me the whole point of this. Because the guy gave himself away in the very question he asked.
Right.
Because he said, what must I do?
Yeah. What must I do?
What must I do?
Yep.
And then here's what we're going to get back to the point.
To inherit.
To inherit.
Yes.
To deserve.
That I may deserve this, to inherit it. Yeah. Because an inheritance in the Jewish world was pretty big.
Yep.
Okay.
Because we get God's inheritance from God.
That's right.
But that's because we're Christ in us, the hope of glory.
That's right.
But anyway, here's the thing that I hadn't even thought about before till this week. And the reason we wanted you to answer those questions was to see how you viewed the scripture. Mm. And I wish I saw a thing this week. I couldn't remember where it was, so I couldn't go back and find it. It was talking about a English teacher writing a phrase on the board in a college class and then telling the students to punctuate it.
Yeah. And determining how you punctuate it is how you read the sentence.
Is how it's,
I get, yep, exactly right.
And it was about
and
it
where
was about
the pause is and how to yeah.
Without the punctuation, it said
one thing.
Woman without man is nothing. No punctuation in it. So women punctuated it one way, men punctuated it another. And I wish I could remember exactly how it was, but basically. The way the women punctuated it said that a man was nothing without the woman.
That's right. Yeah.
And the way the men punctuated it said the woman was nothing without a man. Totally meant two different things.
Yeah.
But they totally read it and punctuated it from what they already were thinking.
Already thinking. Right.
We constantly, and I fight this. I've been fighting this for 40 years.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And I still do it.
Yeah.
I still do it.
I
had to ask myself, am I doing it? Just to make sure I'm not. I come to Scripture and I read it from the rich young ruler's viewpoint. What must I do?
It's really good. I think a lot of times, yeah, I've spent years doing that myself.
Oh, and like I said, I still do it. I'll catch myself feeling guilty about something.
Right.
And all of a sudden I realize, wait a minute, I'm not reading that right.
I'm going to go back to my youth a little bit, and I was probably 17 or 18 years old at this point, maybe 18. And I've just graduated high school, and when I had hair, I had it hair parted just perfect, you know, just this, everything was just in line. But I remember taking notes. I would get these scriptures, I'd take notes, and I'd have my quiet time. And as I'm reading and have my quiet time, and I was checking lists off. Did I do this? Did I do that? Did I make sure I did that right? Or did I make sure? And so I had this little checklist of things. I want to say, I wish I still had that notebook. Because it'd kind of be funny to go back through and look at some of it.
I probably still have my 29-59 plans.
I want to say I may still have all that stuff, but it's like I'll open. But having gone back through it later on in life and thinking to myself as an 18-year-old kid right there is that I was trying to do something at that point to try to inherit the things that I already had.
Yeah.
That I didn't know I had that was there already. And I was trying to perfect it such a way that I would be the best at it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it was like a competition almost. And I think I was trying to, in the situation, was reading. I went through, but I found, I didn't find myself, I guess, after all that stuff and reading scriptures and having gone through all that and accomplished something I thought was really good, and I didn't feel any better about myself.
No.
I didn't feel any better about myself at all. And so reading that Bible from the, reading those scriptures, you know, looking back on it now, some, my goodness, almost 30 years later. Yeah, right at 32 years later. Almost 32 years later, looking at that and going, man, you know, there were some good things that came out of that, but ultimately, you know, what it is I go back and I remember those things, but also remember, okay, you know, this could have been a plan from, you know, this is God's plan from this point forward, boom, and all of a sudden, but it took me, and listen, it took me a long time to break that habit.
Oh, yeah.
Of trying to read it in a different perspective of knowing who I am now in Christ instead of what must I do. What was the thing you were saying earlier? And I liked it. It was not what must I do, but
what has Christ done?
What has Christ done?
Or how does Christ do this in me?
Yes. Reading it from that perspective now. Yeah, because how does Christ do this in me?
Because right. It already, if I take what Christ, what God says about me in Scripture, I'm perfect.
Mm-hmm.
So all these things it's saying you need to do, how does, and that's where we go back to Romans 8:4, is that every aspect of the law, we have inherited obedience to the law. We meet every jot and tittle of the law, just as if we'd kept it ourselves.
Right.
Because we entered in to his perfection and his work that he's already done.
So I like this one. I like your reference here to going back to Romans 8:4, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit, okay? What he has done. And if you look at the rest of this, and I hope you, hopefully you did go back through and read the rest of it. He talks, he goes in. In 10:22, he says he was what? He was sad. Yeah. At this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Have you ever read scripture and went away sorrowful? Have you ever looked at it and thought, man, that's too tough, man, that's too difficult, that's too hard, I don't understand it.
I feel like I know deep down I don't really want to do that.
Yes, that's deep down.
I have this feeling it makes me sad because I don't really want to.
Because I really don't want to.
I don't
do
really want to give that up.
We could really take you on a guilt trip tonight if you really wanted goodness. To. But the whole thing is you, sometimes when you read scripture, you're going to walk away and feel those things. But how are you reading it? What understanding are you coming from in reading that? And so. I thought that was poignant there. Mark 10:22, talking about he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So his mind was, he understood what was there in front of him. But man, those great possessions, man, I'd hate to give up all that, man. Got a roof over my head. I got a car to drive. I've got.
But the thing about it,
possessions.
Jesus didn't tell him he had to.
That's the thing.
He didn't tell him he had to. He said, you do this and you'll have treasure in heaven. He didn't. And even if he'd have gone and done it so he'd have treasure in heaven, it would have been for the wrong reason. But see, he had no ability to do any of it.
Right.
Because he had not become a new creature yet. He had not followed Jesus.
There you go. Which is the key.
And if he'd have listened to what Jesus said in the second thing,
right.
Follow me.
That's right. Take up your
receive
cross.
Receive this free gift.
That's right.
Of taking up your cross, which doesn't seem like a free gift. But.
You know, and two, The crucifixion stake was not a new thing, or not a new thing then, but Jesus had not
gone to the cross.
Gone to the cross at that point. But he is telling him, this is what you're going to need to do. And, man, that sounds – I don't know, man. That sounds pretty burdensome too, JT. How do we take up that cross? You know, there's also the thought that runs through your brain.
And then we go back to, well, how's Christ going to do that? We are crucified
in Christ. It's no longer I who live.
In Christ.
We are crucified in Christ, no longer I who live.
Because he took up the cross.
Exactly.
And there's some other stuff we can talk about some other time about taking up the cross. We won't get into that tonight. But
no, I can, but we could go there, podcast. Couldn't we?
That's a whole other podcast.
But it's a whole other podcast deep. But just in that verse alone, I've been crucified in Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, and the life I which now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith of, if you want to go read to the exact wording of that,
yeah,
faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Possession of the Son of God.
Yeah, man. It's so, it's pretty real.
My inheritance.
My inheritance, yeah.
That I have.
The treasure. That's good.
The glory.
That's it, man. All of it wrapped into
the
this.
First fruits.
Heck yeah, man.
They have been revealed. See, that fire, it so fires me up because I know how I used to think.
Sure.
And now I go back and read scriptures like this and I realize that's done in Christ.
Yeah. So Romans 8:4, one more time. Think about this, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. What? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
And listen, let's jump over to Galatians 2:16.
Exactly, yeah.
Or I'll start at 2:15. We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified.
Yeah.
There's no law,
right,
that you can do, not even love your neighbor as yourself, and love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind. You can't even do those and justify yourself.
Yeah, I know.
You've got to have Christ's perfection as a gift.
As a gift.
As an inheritance.
That's exactly right. Because he has done that. He's fulfilled it. And
when he said it was finished.
Yes.
It was finished. And he wasn't just talking about.
Right.
He was talking about the whole body of Christ. It's finished.
And there's so many things in there, man. You can go back in Galatians. I mean, I sent over some cross references to 8:4, going back to these facts.
Just read some of them. Those are so good.
It's so good right here. But this is really good on this part of it, is that the Galatians 5:22 and 23 is what we usually focus on, and it goes on to 24 on this one. But yeah. But these three verses together, in reference back to Romans 8:4, really bring out this idea that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So read it like that. Understand it this way. But the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. So now it goes back to what walking according to the Spirit looks like.
Yep.
Here's what it looks like, and here's what's bared out. By him, not you, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit. Oh, wait a minute. But it is part of who we are. Fleshed out in us, right? Now listen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It says long-suffering, kindness, goodness, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no what?
Law.
And those who are Christ's, in other words, those who are in Christ, who are have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Okay? Because they are not according to the flesh anymore, but according to the Spirit. Next, Ephesians, I'll read faster. That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. Okay, we're going to go back to her in just a second. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And that sounds like a bride.
Yep. So that's the one time where it says what Jesus came for.
That's exactly right.
Came for a bride.
Came for a bride.
Without spot or blemish.
Without spot. And guess what?
He has it.
That's right.
Because it's finished.
It's finished. Colossians 1:22, in the body of his flesh through death. This just brings this out even more. To present you holy, blameless, and above reproach in his sight.
Yep.
Good. Okay. This is very good. My fingers are getting a little jittery here. Hang on here.
Probably the
that coffee. That Calvin roast is real. All right, Hebrews 12:23. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect.
Made perfect.
Wait, what? 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That's good.
Yep.
Just let that ride. Jude, I bet you didn't think there was anything in Jude that was good for you, did you? Go, why don't you go read the book of Jude tonight as well? It's only 26 verses long. It's full of rich goodness, man. I'm telling you, there's good stuff in that book right there before Revelation in the New Testament. In verse 24, he says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. If we walk, you know, the righteous requirements of the law have been fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the Spirit, right? He's presenting you what? Faultless.
Faultless.
What?
Complete.
What? Wow. Okay, here we go. Revelation 14:5. This is interesting because if you walk according to the Spirit, this is going to be pretty true of you.
We need to say something here again.
Yes.
We keep having, I want to keep reminding people, walking according to the Spirit is not having all your ducks in a row.
No.
It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with trusting the finished work of Christ.
But this is the result of doing this. This is what
if
the Bible is saying.
Christ.
And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. What? Man, are you scared? Have you been fearful? There's a difference in the fear of God and the of God, you know?
Yeah.
There's a totally difference.
Yeah.
But the confidence that you can have in walking in Christ is just as he is, so are we in this world.
Yeah.
Those are things that we have. What does that full verse say? Man, it's so good.
This is your love perfected.
This is your love perfected. That as he is.
As he is.
So are we in this world. Just as he is.
Present tense.
Yeah.
If you believe what the scripture says, your love is perfected.
Your love is perfected.
Because it shows up. Christ is manifest.
That's right.
There's some.
That's heavy and it's good, but it's right.
Oh, it's so right.
So if I'm reading it, if I go back to read it like the rich young ruler would say, you know, Galatians 5:22 and 24 doesn't sound very good. Because, and I don't know about you guys, but I have a hard time loving some people. I have a hard time finding joy.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes I have a hard time with peace in my life, long suffering. I'm a generally a kind person, man, but there's times where I can be unkind. I mean, just think about those things. Those things are very, if I'm trying to flesh those out in myself, guess what? I'm going to stink at that stuff.
Yeah,
but I don't have to do that because it's the abiding in Christ. It's the being in Him, walking in Him.
Yes. The flesh can't be justified.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, that could be, man, that if I'm reading it like the rich man, what must I do? Man, that's going to be difficult for me.
Well, if you've been over and read the, as He is, so are we in this world.
Oh, man.
The rich young ruler would read it. Oh, I've got to be like Him.
So I've got to start.
Got to get my ducks in a row. Get going here.
Let's get everything sold.
Because I won't have perfect love if I don't do that.
That's right. Yep.
And that's that thing of how you look at Scripture.
You don't know my dark past. How is He going to present me, the bride? How is He going to present me as
because
without spot or wrinkle?
A new creature. The old guy is gone. The flesh is not me.
If you see me on video flesh, trying to wipe myself down, that's the ridiculous part of it, is what I'm saying.
Let's read a little of Romans 8 here. I don't think we ever got into this part of Romans 8 before. It says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us."
That's 8:18.
Yeah. 8:18. Mm-hmm. Did you see what it said there? It said revealed.
Yeah.
It didn't say that it would be made later.
It would be revealed.
It would be revealed.
In
us. Yeah. Already in us.
That's right.
It's already there. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God, who I am on the inside."
That's right.
Who I really am. The Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
"For the creation was subjected to futility, but willingly, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope." Even our flesh has hope, which is a good thing.
That's a good thing.
"Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." And I don't understand this, what this means, but I do know it's talking about this body.
Yeah.
Or this craziness that I carry around, whatever you want to call it. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now." That's it. What you were talking about a while ago, that sad.
That sad feeling. Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's it.
Yeah.
"Not only that, but we are also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body."
Mm.
Not us, but our body.
Body, yeah.
We're not waiting for our adoption.
No doubt, yeah.
But we're groaning about this physical thing here.
Yeah.
"For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope." Oh, we don't see it?
What?
Where is it? I don't see it. Nope, we don't see it, but we have hope.
That's right.
"But if we have hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses."
What?
The fact that we can't see
it. Oh. That's right.
"For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And here's that verse that everybody quotes, but they don't see all the rest of 8.
Right.
"For we know that all things." A few things?
No.
Two or three things?
Two or three things.
Yeah.
No, some things.
All things. Nothing that you can name is not included there.
Yeah, right. Right.
Not your kids' misbehaving.
Yeah.
Not your parents passing away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not your wife being mad at you.
No, I've never experienced that.
"All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose."
Mm-hmm.
"For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son." And guess when that conformed to His image happened? Second, I became a new creature.
New creature.
That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Past tense.
That's right.
Past tense. And whom he justified, these he also glorified.
So you're telling me, verse 30 is telling me, that he is justified me.
Justified you.
He's justified.
He glorified you.
He glorified me.
Shekinah glory.
He's also glorified. Think about that.
You are the glory of God.
You are beginning to see a truth that Paul is manifesting here in Scripture about this relationship that he has with God.
Yeah.
Which is eye-opening. These are revealed things. What? That he may, this is the one, JT, that was the hardest for me to grab a hold of and accept. And this is the one I wrestled with for years and years and years, I think, more than any other thing, is that Jesus sees me. And I remember, I think it was Joe that said this for the first time I ever heard it. Justified, never sin.
Yep.
That was hard. Because I could not, and I was the rich young ruler mindset here, and I couldn't get away from the fact that I have. That's what was the most difficult thing. Then that goes back to all the things we've talked about.
Yeah.
It's understanding. Yes, you may be there. You may be thinking about this justified thing and going, man, I don't know about that, dude. I don't know about that. He sees me just, he has made us right with him. That's what that means.
Because he was right.
In right standing. That's what I'm saying. Because he is in right standing, you are in right standing.
We.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Sometime I may do an illustration that I thought of a few weeks ago, but I'd have to have a jug of water and some stuff. But
yeah.
We may do that, but the fact that this new creature, there's no separation of him and it.
That's exactly
it
right.
It is him. It is his body.
That's right.
That old man that owned this flesh and owned this sin that the flesh does, not here anymore.
Gone.
There's no connection to this new creature and this old sin that dwells in this flesh here.
That's exactly right.
They live here together in this physical body, but they're not connected anymore. Mm. Remember what we talked about a few weeks ago about our sin has been removed from us as far as the east is from
the
west.
Exactly right. And those things will never connect.
No.
Yeah.
And that's how all of that's possible. The reason is just as if I'd never sinned. Because this new creature has never sinned.
It's exactly right. And it walks. That's what I'm saying. Oh, it's so good,
think
man.
About that.
those are things that when you grasp. Rest. Are you talking about rest?
That gives you rest.
Boy, are you talking about. If you're going to labor to fight to do something, labor and fight to believe that.
And that's where that battle between
exactly
our old flesh and our spirit, like, they're at enmity with one another.
That's right.
Because who we are knows who it is.
Exactly right.
And the flesh keeps trying to tell it, no, you're not that.
No, you're not that.
No, you're not. Nah. See this? Nah. Well, Uncle Sal, Duck Commander, nah.
Nah. That's right.
But you're not the flesh.
That's right.
The flesh in my flesh, it's the sin that dwells in my flesh. That's what Paul said.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say the sin that dwells in me, but in my flesh. Ownership, not person.
True.
This is my cup, but it is not me.
Exactly.
It's got
right.
some good coffee in it.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, Uncle Si.
Happy.
Anyway.
Fortuitous.
Very, very much.
But
think, yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know what I was
thinking. Well, I know what I was just thinking about. Now we're tracking. I want to track back to Mark 10 real fast.
Yeah.
And go back to 10:18 and hit this. It says, Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good?" And he says, "No one is good but one, and that is God."
He said so much in those three statements he said there.
But then he goes into the, you know, he lists all the things that the rich young ruler was keeping, but he goes back to said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good but God." What is he saying there?
He's trying to open the rich young ruler. His words are slowly opening the rich young ruler's eyes to the picture of accepting Christ.
Exactly right.
Because
there's none good. There's no one who's righteous. Those are the precepts and understanding of what all that means is what he's about to tell him here.
Yeah, because the only way you're going to be good, because that's what the rich young rulers, how can I be good enough to inherit eternal life?
Yep.
And what Jesus said there, you have to become a part of me.
That's God.
Yes. That's the only way.
That's the only way.
You have to become Christ in you.
That's right.
The hope of glory.
That's right.
Because until you do that, all of the stuff you did doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't count for anything. It don't count for anything after you become part of him. It's just part of who you are.
It's good. I love it. Yeah.
Fires me up.
It is. Great stuff. Don't forget, if you haven't done this, right, before you leave or before you leave this video, if you haven't subscribed, if you haven't hit like, if you haven't followed, please do so on our YouTube, which is what? The Coffee and Conversations podcast about God.
You can search Taleo Ridge.
Or Taleo Ridge Ministries, and it will come up.
It'll be the only thing.
It's Teleo, by the way.
There's probably 1,000 Coffee and Conversation
podcasts. Oh, there is. There probably is. But if you put Coffee and Conversations about podcasts about God, it will show up, and you'll see our Taleo Ridge Ministries up there.
You see our picture.
Yeah. You'll see the picture, right. And so, but please hit pause and go, if you haven't gone back and just, you know.
Too late now.
Too late now. But I really hope you hit pause and talked about it. And and in some way, you've gone back through this and maybe reevaluated some of the things that you do when you read Scripture. And asking the right questions when reading Scriptures. You know, if you read Scriptures condemned, don't. Because you're not. In Christ, you're not condemned. Okay.
Exactly.
There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
When you see something, we talked about this last, when you see something that looks like it's something you're supposed to do.
Right.
Go back and ask the question Nicodemus asked. How could this be true?
How could this be true?
And look at it from the point, did Christ do that already? Have I entered into his work? Don't be the rich young ruler.
Right.
And ask the question, oh, what must I do? Oh, that's what I must do. Don't be him. Because he went away sad.
And that's some things you want to take notes on. If you want to write and take notes while you're reading the Bible, great.
Anything you want to do.
Don't hear me say what I did earlier as an 18-year-old is a bad thing. But here's what, it's a perspective of how you do it and see it and read it. Because now it's not a checklist for me. It's not a checklist. I love reading Scripture. It's a part of who I am. You know, even because, and he knows this about me because it's very important to me. That part is very important to me. Well, that part is the part that's helped me understand this life I'm living now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Helps me have peace
exactly
in the midst.
Exactly why.
Because I can have faith in what I know now that
exactly
Christ
right.
has done.
That's right.
And that's where entering at rest, that's where the burden becomes light and the yoke is easy.
That's right.
Because it's not, like you said, it's not my burden or my yoke.
That's right.
It's the yoke and the burden that's already been taken care of.
That's right. Yeah, love it, man. It's good stuff.
Oh.
We got so much more to present to you at some point.
We're still going to throw stuff out of Romans 8 probably for
a little while.
Yeah, because it's just... But just going back, I mean, once again,
I will say this, and I'll shut up and I'll be quiet after this. And this is something else I wrestle with. This is another thing that I try to fight from beating myself up over. But man, I would love to have had this in my thought process when I was in college learning how to study the Bible. You know, and I'm going to tell you why. Because learning how to study the Bible for me right now has made this make sense.
Yeah.
Because I quit trying to take the Bible and make it into modern terms.
Yeah.
And it applies to what we do and how we live our life now.
Yeah.
But I've quit trying to overextend it. Now we have, you know, there's 14 points here. And I'm not saying 14 points is bad, but what I'm saying is this, is that now this has become life. It's opened up. And so I've taken those same principles I've learned in college so many years ago and in seminary so many years ago and applied it to what we're doing now. And it's just poof. It just has revealed, and it's been good. But do you need to do that? No, you don't. You don't have to have all that. That's what I'm saying. It's understanding this is that for me, it's helped me love it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. But you don't have to have that. What has God done for you, and has he, because like I said, JT and I have come, we have come at it from a totally different perspective. And then our worlds collided, and all of a sudden I'm like, "What? Who is this guy?" You know. But it's
weird,
like,
dude.
Huh?
This weird dude.
Who's this guy? And the first thing I did when I, well, outside of meeting you, sitting inside that cooler, you know, is he's shining a light across the lake that it's shown like 300 foot into the woods.
175,000 candle power. It's not like.
I mean, that thing was making noises when he turned it on.
You couldn't put your hand on the front.
Anyways, the brightest light I've ever seen. But all that saying is that we come from totally two different worlds, and that God has brought us to this same place for a reason. And it's the same for you. You don't have to come from my world. You don't have to come from his world. But God has given you a special revelation through the Spirit to understand his word.
Because we're the same.
Understand it.
When we became a new creature. We became the same on the inside.
That's exactly right. And that's where the connection is being made. And that's where I trust the Christ in him. That's the thing. Yeah.
And the thing about we've received the first fruit, or we have the first glory, has been revealed.
Mm-hmm.
This new creature in here, if I really believe who it is,
mm-hmm.
knows every bit of the scripture.
Yeah.
Already. Is every bit of the
is
scripture.
Every bit of the scripture.
Is the word.
Is the word. Exactly right.
And people will be going, oh, that's
dangerous.
Dangerous.
But it's true.
It's true.
But that's where you get recall. That's where you get all those things. And that's where the understanding of it comes when you read it. Because it's real.
And this is
a great part of who you are.
This is something I was thinking about today. Because I was talking about, it's, you know, 40 years learning to read scripture where I'm not reading it from the rich young ruler's viewpoint.
Right.
If I had instantly been able to read it from
that point, yeah.
You know, from a grace point.
Yeah.
It would have freaked me totally out. It would have messed me up bad. It takes time.
Just keep pursuing it. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yep.
If you look back through history of Christians who seem to pick up on grace really quickly, they died young.
True.
So you kind of like, let it take a little time. But, you know, it's whatever God wants, but that's the thing. And like I said, it's been 40 years for me.
Yeah.
Since the first time I realized this is not a rule book.
Not a rule book. That's right. Very good. Very good.
Sitting on the side of the lake after reading Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence.
Yep. That's a good book to read too if you haven't heard. You can go look that one up, and it's still in copy and sold.
Make
There's
sure
a,
you find the
original. Right, the original.
Original translation. Not the... There's a lot of them out there that are basically an interpretation.
Yeah, don't do that.
And they leave out the best parts.
The best parts of the book, yeah.
Because they don't fit with what
the little blue copy of the book. There's a little blue copy of the book that's, and it's a tiny book, but it's a little blue copy of the Practice of the Presence of God. This is the one you need to get that has the original stuff in it.
What is it online? The Christian Ethereal Library?
Yes.
It's maintained by Wheaton College, mm-hmm. maybe?
They have it on there.
They have it. You can download it, the original.
You know, I bet you we can pop a link on our video.
Yeah, I'll could, see. I know I've got that somewhere.
Yeah. You could. So if you'll go into our little notes down there, I guess with the comment box.
Put it in the description. Put a link.
Yeah, you can put a link in there, and you can go look that book up and read it. It is so good. And there's so many other books like that that we've read over the years that – They really just have that, that really point to this stuff. So
I remember in our last podcast when you said something I said about just keep at it, you'll be okay. I remember what that conversation was about. I think I was telling you about the letter that the youth minister had written to Norman Grubb that he put in the back of the Law of Faith.
Oh, yeah.
That was what it was about.
That's what it was about, yep.
Because obviously the letter was talking about his mentor telling him, just keep at it.
Just keep at
You'll
it.
You'll get there.
You'll get there. That used to wear me out. But I'll tell you this, just keep at it. You'll get there. I promise you.
Yeah, you don't have to give yourself a guilt trip of not
exactly
reading scripture correctly.
Yeah.
It's not a rule that you gotta read it correctly.
In our world today though, based on this, we want it now.
Now.
But I guarantee you, God will reveal it to you.
It's already there. He will reveal it in you. Already there. That's a good place to.
Good place to be, yep. Absolutely.
Think on these things.
All right, man. Well, it's been great having you guys this week. We'll see you next time on Coffee and Conversations.
Pray for the people in Florida that
absolutely
hitting right about now.
Right now, yep.
And it's not good, so.
No.
Not as bad as it could have been, but.
Not good, yeah.
See y'all. When we see you,
all right.
Don't forget to comment and tell us what you answered the question.
Yes, do that.
Later.